So this bolt of lightning shot across the universe and inspired me with the idea that we have to do a podcast. And that's what I wanted to tell you. We should do a podcast. Okay, bye.
Okay, I hit record.
I hit record. Welcome to Feature Creep, colon.
Built-in microwave, semicolon.
What's the title?
Let's agree you'll all be disappointed.
Yes. Actually, already we're off to a good start. I misread the suggested title. It's actually, let's agree you'll all be a disappointment.
Oh. That's somehow even funnier. All right, let me write that down.
Okay. While you write it down. So welcome to our podcast. Okay. I'm Ned. This is Meg. You can email us with all of your, complaints, pointing out our errors, our factual inaccuracies, etc. So you can email Dana. She is the executive. No, she's the CEO. Yeah. And she.
I mean, CEOs are an executive.
Yeah, but she's the executive. She's the founder, executive. CEO, and founder of this podcast. So you can email her, and her email address is Dana, D-A-N-A, at fcbm.io. You can also just go to fcbm.io and get our email addresses there. That's the best way to get a hold of us. I think we still have some accounts on some social media, but we, don't really keep up with that. So,
no.
Anyway,
you know what I think of social media?
What?
I think of it as like those big, broiling, hot, like, cauldrons of water in the geysers in Yellowstone where they're like, don't step off the path because you stick your foot in there. It's going to get eaten away to the bone in your ankle.
Yes.
And I kind of think of that like social media. Like, it's very beautiful from a distance, or at least very like intriguing because it looks so weird. And you're like, what if I just dip my toe in? And the next thing you know, the park rangers are there and like your body part is missing because it's been boiled off of you. And everyone's like, what was wrong with you for going in there? And then somebody takes a picture of it, and then that makes the internet too, and it's just a downward circle.
It's just a circle of disappointment.
Yes. So stay off of social media.
Yeah. So if this is your first podcast, welcome of ours, or your very first podcast, amazing. The odds of that seem low, but welcome to the world of podcasts. So what I said at the beginning about misreading our title, so Meg and I have a process for titling our podcast. So title first, then think of the content, right?
Right.
That's the correct way to do creative stuff.
Exactly.
It's
the way. Other people do it other ways, but they're wrong.
Yes, absolutely. There's no other correct way to do it. This is the definitive way to do creative process.
Right.
But our creative process involves Meg and I having ongoing chats with each other through texting, right? And and so we often, when we think of a title, we just label it FCBM and then send the title. And so we were looking at our back catalog of hundreds of titles, thousands at this point. I don't know. We're probably easily 4,000 or 5,000, I would imagine.
I bet.
Yeah, just it's at least once a day someone chimes in with a new podcast title.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this one we picked out, I misread, let's agree you'll be disappointed. What it actually says is, let's agree you'll all be a disappointment.
Right. It's either about us or it's about you, but yes, it's different depending on which way you read it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that's the point of fact, clear that up. So to start with to kind of start this off, I thought I might tell a little personal story about some disappointment I recently experienced.
Yes.
Middle ground disappointment. There's highs and lows in this story. Anyway, I have an office chair that my partner gifted me many years ago. It was used when she gifted it to me. Fine. I mean, that's the state of it. And so I was using it because my office chair broke. And then eventually the foam arms just started to deteriorate and break off in chunks. And so, the air spring, the sort of, the part that you can use to adjust the height of the chair.
Yeah.
One of the seals was leaking, it started to leak. And so essentially you'd be sitting in it and then suddenly you would just sink all the way down and you'd be sitting on the floor almost.
Oh, God.
So I thought it's time to get a new chair. I had done some research. I'd looked online. There were some chairs I had some eyes on. But, you know, fucking
were
office chairs.
Were you seduced by the Herman Miller Aeron chair?
Having had one of those, it's fine. It's fine. There's some other ones I like better, but that was it's okay. I've had them. I've used them. I haven't owned one myself, but I've used one for a long time. Like I had access to one that I sat in a long time, and it was okay.
That's how you know you're succeeding in business. You gain access to a Herman Miller Aeron chair,
right? Because they're thousands of dollars, right? If you buy them new,
Very expensive.
And it turns out actually, there's a lot of different high-end office chairs, and I had looked at quite a few of them and picked out some that I kind of liked, but in the end it was like $900 or something, which seems cheap after you're looking at some Herman Miller chairs and you're like, oh, actually this seems okay. Long story short, I suddenly had the epiphany that here in San Diego we have a pretty active Craigslist community, and since we have such a huge like corporate presence in terms of like biotech startups and things, there's often a bunch of shit like that for sale.
Right, because you burn through your cash reserves and then you can't raise any more like A money or whatever, and all of a sudden you're no longer a unicorn and you got to sell off all those chairs you bought when you had fantasies of being a company.
Right. And so I located a chair that was $100 that was like, you know, it's probably like they're kind of the corporate package chair. So it's like a company who like outfits all their conference rooms with these chairs would get, you know, and so it doesn't have like a headrest, but it's got the armrests and it's comfortable. And so I was really excited, and I located one, and I called the guy, and he's like, yeah, come on by. So I like came and picked it up. And he talked me into taking four of them, which is, so I got a bulk pack. And actually this is kind of what I wanted, because I wanted to have nice chairs for our podcasting room, which you the headquarters. So now I have four of them, so we can seat four people very comfortably.
Oh my God.
But the and these chairs are nice because they're the they're like one of the name brand. I think it's like Human Chair or something. I don't know. It's like some kind of you know, I don't know. It's not I actually, of all the companies I've used, the Steelcase, there's a company called Steelcase that makes like office furniture, and generally I have found their like any chair that they have to be of superior quality and comfort to.
And what are they called?
Steelcase.
Ooh, I'm writing that down. Steelcase chair.
All one word.
Cool.
Yeah. I didn't get one of those, and now I'm kind of like it's good, but it's not amazing. Like it's one thing I do like about it is that it encourages me to sit more attentively. It's hard to be lazy in this chair. Like I can't just like, it leans back, but the more comfortable position is to kind of sit upright and sort of be engaged, or I want to get up. It doesn't leave me sore or anything. So it's a pretty great task chair. Like when I'm working at my computer, I fucking want to work at my computer. I don't want to lay back in it like a fucking Barca lounger or whatever those.
Yeah, Barca lounger.
Yeah. Barca lounger. Yeah.
Barca lounger. That conjures up a very funny image in my head.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
A shrouded chair.
So
you got four,
but I got four of them
that you feel okay about.
I got a good deal. I paid like $200 for four of them or something, and
that's amazing, because even if you like don't love the chair, if when it wears out you aren't going to get anything worse than what you already have. You've got three more of them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so fantastic.
Good, so that worked out really well.
I love that you got a four pack. I don't usually think of large objects as coming in a multi pack.
Yeah, right.
You know, I don't know why the size has something to do with it, but like, oh, like here's, speaking of fucking disappointment, either we'll be disappointed or other people will be disappointments. In this case, it's both. But I ordered some groceries on Amazon Fresh, which has been in the Twin Cities market for a really long time. And I always kind of like regretted it when I was someplace that didn't offer Amazon Fresh, because as far as grocery delivery, I think it's like head and shoulders above the rest.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And I also think this about their pharmacy. Like Everybody else, this is like shadows foreshadowing the future, right? Uh-huh. Most pharmacies are out of this or that drug. Like, you can't get it. There's shortages all over the place. It's really fucking terrible. People can't get their medication. Amazon has no problem delivering my like shingles medication to me so that I don't have a horrific outbreak again. And like, they're the only ones who seem capable of delivering this shit to me on time. And so like, anybody who's like, oh, but Amazon's the evil empire, I'm like, yeah, well, I die without them like bringing my shit to me. And so like, if you want to complain about how much they suck, somebody's gonna have to outdo them, because they're the only option as far as I'm concerned. Like, if you don't like it, fine, but there's no alternative, and I'm not gonna pretend like I am ordering medication that doesn't show up and like be satisfied with that. I actually need this shit once a month. So
yeah,
anyway, Amazon Fresh brought food to us, and that is great. And I ordered 5 boxes of Annie's organic shells and cheese.
Yes.
Because they had this like promo that's like, spend $25 and get $10 off. And I was like, great. But for some reason, it didn't credit my thing after I checked out. So now I have to like go through the process of trying to reach a human in customer service and be like, why didn't I get my $10? Right. Which is like, whatever. It was like 10% of the overall grocery bill.
Uh-huh.
So I want my discount. Because I didn't actually need 5 boxes of shells and cheese. I just got it because it's shelf stable. And I was like, well, if they're going to give it to me for like basically half off, I guess I can afford the like overhead of storing them in my house. But I'm super annoyed by that. That was very disappointing, because I feel duped. I feel like a dupe.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Speaking of multi-packs.
Speaking of multi-packs, yes.
Disappointing multi-packs.
Yes.
Oh, it's been disappointment. So I am teetering on the precipice. I'm on the very like narrow ledge above a deep chasm of bronchitis. And I'm fighting it off because we went and visited family members in Texas. And we did 3 different groups of people in 9 days in 3 different cities.
That's nuts. That's
in
nuts.
Texas.
Yeah.
And we like raced from place to place, and luckily didn't get any speeding tickets in Texas, because I bet they would have been harsher. And anyway, the first group of people we stopped at failed to tell me that their child had like a really heinous head cold infection. And so I like got down on his eye level to be like, hi. And as I was like open mouth saying hi, he like right in my face. Oh, and like a spray of disgusting shit just all over. Like, I probably felt it on my tongue. I think I blacked it out because it was so disgusting, and I was trying not to like treat this kid like he was disgusting,
right?
Because he's a sweet little kid, and I'd never met him before, so I didn't want to like freak him out. Kids are real edgy around me, because like horses, they see that I am from the dark side and they want nothing to do with me most of the time. If they have any survival instincts whatsoever,
they run. Yeah.
They're like, they look at me and then they kind of get this look on their face like, what am I looking at? And then they start to cry. That is usually how it goes when I meet a kid. So these kids liked me.
Yeah.
And that's really unusual. So I was going to work it for all it was worth. You know, I really wanted to like have fun with them.
Yeah.
And I did have fun with them, but it came at the expense of my health. So they didn't tell me that he was sick, and then I got sick. And then we went to another set of people's house, and then that's when my earache started. And as you and other people who have listened to more than one episode of this podcast might know, all of my shingles troubles started with an infection in the nerve in my ear. So it felt like an ear infection. So anytime I have a painful ear, I just kind of like go into full bore panic mode right away, because.
Right, right. No, that's. Yeah.
I have trauma now. I have like post-traumatic stress anytime my ear hurts. So anyway. We moved on to the third group of people who had bronchitis that we think came from them inhaling sawdust when they were working on something. But we weren't sure, because they were both sick, and we were like, well, that wouldn't hold true for the second person who got bronchitis, because they weren't where the sawdust was when the exposure happened to the first person and possibly triggered the bronchitis. So we weren't sure if they had some kind of infection or not. But what I'm finding is that my horrific sinus infection, which came from the child, when I lay down is when it gets really gross and it just sits in my sinuses instead of draining. And then that's when it gets really gunky and icky and like the green color. And so when I lay down, if I'm not like waking up to blow my nose regularly, it will go down my throat and into my lungs, and then I will have to cough it out in the morning. So I'm like really worried that at some point I'm not going to catch it fast enough and cough it out, and it's just going to sit in there, and then I'm going to get a chest infection too. So I've been like fighting left and right to maintain my health. Right now I have a glutathione patch like strapped to the skin on my forearm, pumping high-end antioxidants into my body so that I can fight this off. I've been doing the neti pot. If you're not a fan of neti pots because you don't know what they are, learn about them. They're amazing. It's just a pot you put warm water and salt in, and then you pour it into your sinuses and all the gross shit gets washed away.
They are pretty amazing to use if you've never used one, and you need to like unclog your sinuses.
Yeah, it's amazing. And if you put a tiny little drop of baby Johnson's and Johnson's baby shampoo, the baby shampoo destroys bacteria biofilms.
Yeah.
So you can actually like break up the colonies of bacteria in your sinuses that don't dislodge when you blow your nose, because they're like they've cemented in there. Like bacteria have this amazing capacity to build this like gooey cementy thing around themselves.
Yeah.
And this is why they become resistant to antibiotics. Like you hit them with antibiotics, but the antibiotics only penetrate as deep as that gooey gummy cement layer, and it never reaches the bacteria themselves. So like the baby shampoo breaks up that biofilm, and then once that all breaks up, you can sweep all of your sinuses clear with the water, and it really works. I mean, that was what made me turn the corner here, because the stuff looks heinous the first thing in the morning when I blow my nose. It's like, oh my god, I can't believe that's festering in my head right now.
Right.
And then the more I'm up and moving around, it goes clear again because it's actually draining constantly, and it's not like sitting there for a long time like raising the population of bacteria exponentially by the minute. So anyway, got the neti pot going. That's working. Can't recommend that enough. It's like you don't even have to go on antibiotics. You just flush your sinuses out. And I've been drinking Uva Ursi tea, which like changes sort of the internal chemistry of your digestive tract and excretory system. So like your kidneys and your bladder become way more slippery. So if you have clingy bacteria in your system, you can flush them out way easier. Same concept. So anyway, I'm just like kind of hitting it from all angles, and I'm getting better and better. And
it's not disappointing.
Well, the neti pot thing is not disappointing. The disappointing thing is that we like came to see people who like didn't tell us somebody was sick. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's
fine. I mean, it's not that big a deal. I just was like, oh, I wish I
would
have known before I opened my mouth up as a living petri dish for this child's germs. But here's the thing, right? Like, what I realized is that there is no context in my adult life in which that disease, the whatever it is, the goop that the kid has, would make it into my head as an adult. Like, I'm not usually around children is what I'm saying. And this is very much like a children's disease. This is like a kid's illness. Like, you do not see adults usually walking around with this kind of gross, like, sinus infection. It's a kid thing.
Right.
Maybe if you're an adult who's frequently around children, that makes sense. I am not one of those adults. So I haven't had an infection like this since I was like a teenager.
Right.
Like 30 years.
Yeah.
I think was the last time I had a sinus infection. So I'm not used to it. And it's not like painful or anything. It's just really annoying and super gross. Like, God, I forgot how gross this is.
It's just so gross. And
I was just like, man, if I had been wandering around as an adult, like with other adults, there's no way I ever would have caught this particular infection, because it basically required a direct wet slide transfer from one facial orifice to another, or there would have been no vector for the disease to get passed around. And I'm never this close to other adults, like arm's length, please, you know, personal space. So I just thought, man, this is why I haven't been sick like this in 30 years, because I'm never around kids, and this is clearly not an adult style illness.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, disappointing. Like, you have one contact with a small child and you're instantly sick.
You're just sick right away.
That's where the disappointment comes in. There it
right,
is.
Right. Oh. Found it.
Found it.
There's I have, speaking of kids, my partner, her oldest son, he and I have an appreciation of disappointment.
Yes.
It's, well, it just started as this sort of joke of like, I don't remember what we were talking about specifically, but I was like, well, it's kind of a win-win because it's sort of a win-lose, but like, if you lose, then you'll have disappointment. So that's right. Always a thing to appreciate, which the important thing is you don't say like, prize. You can't really say like, enjoy disappointment. It can be your favorite thing, which is where this really comes from, right? Is that what's that show? Metalocalypse.
Yes.
When what's his name for his birthday? They're like,
Murderface has a birthday, and Pickles tells him, "We got you your favorite thing." Disappointment.
Yeah. So that's but the I was reading the chat log from when we came up with this title. So you offered this is actually on September 11th of last year. you were in Basel and you said, I just heard Jack Black say, let's agree that you'll all be a disappointment, which you said, I need that on a t-shirt. Yes. And then you immediately offered it as a podcast title. And here we are. I think that's actually a great t-shirt. I want to know like what movie that came from or like where you heard that. I'm assuming you weren't actually hanging out with Jack Black in a live environment.
Wouldn't that be amazing if this whole time you knew that I had been to Basel, Switzerland, and I failed to mention that I hung out with Jack Black while I was there? Right. Oh, didn't I tell you that? Right. I met him at the steam room at the hotel. That'd be so crazy. I don't remember what must we have been watching for Jack Black to be like, let's all just agree you'll be a disappointment.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. Anyway, if you're listening to this podcast and you know, please write in. Great opportunity to send us an email.
Yes, tell us. Yeah. Tell us the ways in which we are wrong.
Yes. I'm also, I'm excited. So I got some messages from some of our fans that they were excited because we hadn't really published for almost a month, even though we'd recorded several podcasts.
I think it was even longer than that. It might have been even longer than that. Or let's say this. It may have been that we published a month ago, but I think prior to that publishing, it was even maybe a couple of months because you went back and forth through Europe a couple of times and I went back and forth to Europe a couple of times and then we got COVID. And
then
now we just got back from Texas and it's like we're never in one place.
It definitely... suggest to me that we maybe need to find some time to work on our workflow because the biggest holdup is the publication process.
Right. Yes. We have to, if we could solve for that bottleneck, we'd be like rolling out podcasts left and right.
And it's pretty tight when I actually do it, but I'm noticing that it's like, it's still, the barrier is one that it's like, I can't really reasonably expect you to do it. Because it requires like access to the server, which you technically have, but then it requires a level of like familiarity with skills that I use every day. So I don't think about it. Whereas you don't use those skills every day.
This would be the only thing I would use it for. And so the space between times that I use it gets so stretched out that I'm like, I don't even remember how to do this now.
Right. And the dumb thing about it is like, even if, and I think at one point we kind of tried this, was like, even if I wrote everything down for you, because you don't work in that space most of the time, if anything goes wrong.
I'm hopeless. I'm immediately like blindfolded off the path.
Right. And so it's kind of like, it's like, this isn't really a good solution. The better solution is we need to kind of automate a lot more of it. And we're almost there. I think if we had like a good you know, powwow session or something where we sat down and kind of reworked it, it would be good. But
oh, you were going to say something about William's disappointment, but I don't know that you.
Oh, I just that we just share this joke about disappointment. And, yes,
it wasn't something specific. Yeah. So the kids who are related to me and in my family and my life, and I went to an indoor park, and I can't remember if we talked about the indoor park on the podcast or if I just told you about it.
I don't remember.
So in Minnesota in the winter, it's usually very fucking cold and like snow piled up to your asshole and like hard to get around and it's very dark and it's just like nobody wants to leave the house. As of like late October, I'm like, that's it. I'm not going back outside for another 4 months. Like I just resigned myself to being indoors. And some people have what they call cabin fever, where you're cooped up inside and you just want to go outside, but you can't because it's terrible outside.
Right.
And this is what leads people to going to the bar around here. But that's a detour for another day. Anyway, we went to this indoor park with my nephews because in Minnesota, they make playgrounds indoors. Otherwise, kids would have no place to run off their energy in the wintertime. I mean, we used to just go sledding, but I don't know if people really do that anymore. I feel like if there's not some kind of like an element that requires you to have a passcode that you type into a door that lets you in if you've paid, people don't do it anymore. So we went to this weird indoor park, which like, is it a park if it's indoor? I don't really know. Like that seems weird. It's this ersatz park. There are no trees. There is no grass. There is a lot of climbing equipment and all kinds of like stuff, right? Which is fine. Anyway, we chased around and stuff.
So just to the Oxford... The OEM, Oxford English.
Yeah.
OED.
Yes, OED.
Oxford English Dictionary defines park as one, a large public green area in a town used for recreation. So it could be outside. I mean, it could be inside, but it needs to be public. And it needs to be green.
Green. So this is neither of those things.
However, you can use it in other terms like an industrial park, an area devoted to a specific purpose.
Mm.
So
I would say this is an indoor playground on those, according to that definition.
Yeah.
Because it is not a park. But it's called a park. It says so in the title. So it must be a park. Because it says park right there. So
I mean,
it's not a park.
Merriam-Webster definition for an enclosed arena or stadium used especially for ball games. But I think typically people think of the definition too, which is a piece of ground in or near a city or town kept for ornament and recreation, an area maintained in its natural state as a public property. So,
yeah. And this is not public. You have to pay ahead of time and then they email you a code and then you can use the code, but they like admonish you ahead of time. Don't let anybody else in with your code. Just like it's an apartment building, like, you're going to have to buzz the person you're here to see.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not letting you in, stranger. You're here to rob me or whatever people think. I don't know what people think because I let people through all the time.
Yeah.
Probably because I'm not supposed to be there either. Anyway, we go to this indoor play place. And at some point we were like, oh, let's get candy from the candy vending machine. And so my nephew Bennett and I went to the machine and they had like, oh, Warheads, which are like these extraordinarily sour candies that just like pucker your whole face up because they're made with citric acid, which is like hyper sour when you get it in its like pure form, and they kind of melt it down into this sugary citric acid lava, and then they coat a hard candy like a Jolly Rancher in it kind of, and then it hardens into this like encrusted bomb of sour in your face, and it's a badge of honor to be able to eat one straight faced, right? That's how you know you're tough. You're like, my teeth are not burning out of my skull right now, this is fine. And so my nephew Bennett is great at keeping a straight face with the Warheads, but the other people in our family not so much. And so we get these Warheads and it turns out that they are not the original atomic Warheads. They are a gummy version of them.
Oh no.
And we sat down at the table and started eating them. And Bennett looks at me and he goes, these are disappointing. And I was like, they are disappointing. So then that afternoon after we left, I went on Amazon and I ordered like a bulk 5-pound bag of the actual Warheads and had them delivered to their house like a day later to make up for it. But I was just like, man, that is disappointing because they were not clearly labeled. I look for this type of thing because I am skeptical of marketing as a form of propaganda that is designed to evict money from you as quickly as possible. And so I'm always on the lookout for like, how is this not what I want?
Right. Yeah.
And I overlooked it this time. I didn't even notice that they were these gross gummy ones, and they weren't even as sour as the like Warheads are supposed to be. So they fail at the texture and they fail at the sourness. And I just thought, man, this is like the worst ever. So that was another disappointment that lately.
Do you know what's a fun game? My partner's kids play this game with Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah. And,
Sour Patch Kids are gummy sours.
Yeah.
But
I have to say, they are gummy, but they're like a different texture of gummy.
Yeah.
That's very appealing compared to like, say, a gummy worm or a gummy bear. Not the same thing.
True.
Go on.
And they are different colors, which are actually different flavors. And so they play a game where you close your eyes and they hand you a Sour Patch Kid. And then you eat it and you try to guess what flavor it is.
I love this game.
It is pretty fun. Yeah.
Is anybody good at it?
Yeah, they've gotten pretty good at it.
Nice.
And it can be like, it's funny because like you can get kind of caught out where it's like you know, I can't remember. It's been a little while since I played, but I think there's two colors that the flavor is more similar. And so it's sort of that one can catch you out. Also, if you do it a lot, your taste buds get burned out by the sour,
yes.
right? And so then you taste less and less as your face is just puckering the whole time, which is part of the enjoyment, right? But
you know, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna pivot directly to disappointment.
Be my guest.
I feel like I'd read an article, and so it doesn't really matter, but I was reading an article at some point about whether things are actually worse now than they were, say, like 10 or 15 years ago in terms of like sort of American livelihood and living. And
okay.
And some arguments have been made that one of the things is that we're just more aware now because of things like social media where people can like more loudly voice their opinions in a public space.
Yes.
Like more people have more soapboxes, right? And you're able to listen to more people on more soapboxes. And so overall, you can hear a lot more of the complaints that are happening in and around. And I think that's not, I don't think we should dismiss that as like not true. Like it's, I think there's a lot of disappointment to be had, and I think that we're more publicly aware of it. Like, you know, for instance, I'm fighting this battle with this hosting company over this domain name that I had.
Yes.
I had taken on board this domain name for this company. I volunteer for this medical clinic here in San Diego, and they have a domain name for their website. And when I took over as the volunteer for the doing their sort of IT support stuff, like both computers in the clinic, as well as like any like website stuff they have, and helping them make sure their technology stuff keeps going forward. At one point, their domain name was like expiring, and because it's a free medical clinic, and there was just not a lot of like anyone else to support, I just was like, fuck it, I'll just pay for it.
Yeah.
And I paid for it. And somehow that transferred it into my name, which is fine which is not a big deal. Like, actually, I know we did that on purpose because the previous IT person had held it in their name. And I was like, well, it's just quicker to put it in my name now with the idea of like, let's move it to the organization as they develop. And so that time has come, and now I'm trying to transfer it to the owner, like the proper owners, and the fucking company, like they won't fucking unlock it and transfer it. And it's just going round and round, and they've been holding it hostage. And like at one point they charged me $100 to like unlock it so that it was restored. And then that's it. And now it won't transfer. And they're like, they keep telling me, like, I go back and forth with them and I try to get a hold of support. And like the support people are like, no, no, our engineers are working on it. They're going to respond within 24 hours. Don't worry. And that's been going on for a week. Like every day I call in and they're like, yeah, yeah, no, we're totally working on this. You're going to get an email like within 24 hours. This will be resolved. And then, you know, a week goes by. Yeah. Any minute. And 24 hours go by, I check in, get the same story. No, this time for real. Anyway, so I, and just the level of like both incompetence and also the way that they've just held it hostage and continue
chicanery.
To like charge for features for shit that like they shouldn't be charging for. But like, I have no, like if this was my own domain, I'd probably just be like, fuck it. I don't care that much about it. Like I don't actually have like, you know, we have fcbm.io. That would be pretty fucking, I'd be pretty annoyed if that got, you know, taken away. But, you know, like at the end of the day, but this
well, you
is
and
like,
I both collect them on our own because we're like, listen to this funny domain name I came up with. It was only $12 a year, so I bought it or whatever, you know?
Right. Yeah. But anyway, we'll maybe make a whole podcast about that once I've resolved it. I don't want to, I'm not going to throw shit at this company until it's like they don't have anything to hold hostage against me and then fuck them. Like, then I'm getting, getting away from them and they can eat a dick. But, you know, this, I mean, if you do domain stuff in any kind of technical capacity, you probably are aware of this. There's a company called EIG, which actually, I think, this company called EIG bought like, it's called Endurance International Group, and in the early 2010s, they basically bought out like a bunch of different hosting providers, including one of the ones that I'm using. And basically, there's this argument that like if you look at reviews online, like you Google for reviews, they're amazing for all these hosting companies. But if you go to Reddit, it's like. And on Reddit, like there's a web hosting sub forum or like a couple of them. And just every post is basically people complaining about these EIG companies and being like, just stay away. They're absolutely the worst.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it's it's really disappointing because they kind of have this like monopoly on a lot of their subsidiary brands. And so you can't really like. Without some, you know, decent research and understanding, like you can be like pissed off about one company and transfer your shit to another and then be right in the same fucking situation. And my understanding is like what they've basically done is like they've bought up these companies and then just like stripped them of any real functionality. And then they just continue to like, you know, propagate their bullshit. Yeah. And so it's like if you don't have any, like if you have a website with one of these companies and you don't really have like real use of it, it's probably fine. But as soon as you want, like as soon as you get any real traffic or like your website becomes like something that people are visiting or like, you know, like our podcast would, I definitely would not be hosting it with them. Like we don't have that many visitors, but we get like 300 or so a month, which my understanding is like it would just not hold up for any of these hosting companies.
Oh
they wouldn't
God.
Have to be able to serve that. So
what a racket. There's so everything's a fucking scam now.
Yeah.
Everything's a scam.
So
what?
The Wikipedia article, the for the EIG company in August 2018, the CEO and CFO were fined $8 million for fraud by the SEC. $8 million. Like
oh no.
It's like what?
There's so many people committing fraud that never get caught, too. Like
let's just all agree. Caught, let's just agree. You'll all be a disappointment.
Be a disappointment. Did you say that was Jack White or Jack Black who said that?
You said, I just heard Jack Black say, let's agree that you'll all be a disappointment.
Okay.
And this was on September 11th.
2023.
And you were talking to me about, you were like, I'm totally in my element in Basel. Let's see.
What were we doing that we encountered anything with Jack Black? Anyway, it's not important. I'm excited today. I'm not disappointed today because even though it's Valentine's Day, which
but
is
September
like,
11th, you said you were at the dentist. So maybe you were just talking about how you liked Basil.
Well, I mean, we were in Europe in September.
You said September 11th, hilarious. Today at the dentist, I set my phone down, backside up. All my cats are beautiful, sticker copy. I have both hygienists.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Yeah, so I'm guessing you had just gotten back?
We must have just gotten back.
Okay, so that makes more sense. So then, and you said that at 6:13 p.m. my time.
Yeah, so it would have been like 4 something here.
Yeah.
At the dentist.
And then... I wonder if you're like, if there was like a movie either on there or at home, like when you'd come back and you were texting me. Anyway, sorry. I don't know. Derail, like just a little personal sleuthing to see what,
right.
You know, what the outcome of this.
Consider the context.
Yeah.
Yes. what else did I write down here about disappointments? Well, I can tell you, Valentine's Day this year is not disappointing for me because...
Oh, yeah, it's Valentine's Day.
It is right. Valentine's Sorry. Day.
Yes. Yeah, not and disappointing. I, yes.
Not disappointing because today is the day of the year where in Minnesota, the light has lengthened the course of the day to the point where we have 10 hours of daylight.
What?
I know, 10 hours of daylight. And... that is a trigger for all sorts of stuff in nature to start waking up. I learned this when I started learning how to keep bees. I always assumed it was like the outside temperature, like, oh, it warms up and then things start growing. But that is not actually the case at all. It has to do with the angle of the light and how much light there is available. And that's what triggers stuff to wake up. So the bees start to like clue into the fact that the days are 10 hours or longer. And that's this like magic arbitrary line in nature where it's not arbitrary, it looks arbitrary to me because I don't understand all of the machinations of nature.
Right,
there's a reason for everything, but yeah, so now it means like, ooh, stuff's gonna start waking up. Like I wouldn't be surprised if I'm gonna have to check the potted plants in my front porch to make sure another frog doesn't emerge out there.
Oh yeah. So I just recently read an article where, so speaking of disappointment and insects,
yes,
and nature, there's, for a long time, people kind of speculated about why most bugs fly at, like if you turn on a light at night, why they fly to the flame or why they fly to the light. And, it used to be speculated that they used it for navigation, like they would fly like by the light of the moon, but now there's this like artificial light, and so then they get confused and they're flying into the light thinking it's the moon. I can't remember what some of the other ones were. There was like some people just speculated that it's like blinding to them, and so they just get disoriented. So turns out they did some good research, and it is kind of a navigation thing. So most insects have it's not their eyes. It's not photosensitive like cells in their eyes. They have photosensitive cells on their dorsal, like on their back, basically.
Oh.
And the light helps them orient which way is up.
Oh, shit.
And so they did this study, this really like pretty great study where they used a high-speed camera and they filmed different light sources in nature, and they would film the insects' flight patterns around them. And Whoa. what they determined was that what's happening is the bugs are trying to orient their back to the light.
Yep.
So that it's up, because that's up for them. And what they're actually trying to do is fly straight.
I see.
And then what happens is they kind of curve around the light, and eventually they either land on it or, like, you know, these things happen. But
yep.
Which is so it like those insect zappers are like incredibly insidious with this information, right? Because it's like,
yes.
Not only does it, I don't fault people for having those necessarily. Like there's, you know, especially if you put it inside of your porch where you have a screened in area. So things that come inside, then end up getting zapped. Also, fuck mosquitoes. There's just no context in which mosquitoes are okay. So, like, you know, but of course, they don't discriminate, right? Like, they don't just zap mosquitoes. Yeah. They just zap any small flying insect that can reach the, get close enough to hit an orc. But anyway, I found that fascinating. And so there's much, there's like a lot of good, stronger evidence to support that it's these cells on the back that are basically the bugs are sort of instinctually trying to orient themselves upright, because they're basically, their feeling, for lack of a better word, experience is that up is light, light is above them. And so that's what happens.
Amazing. That's like, that makes so much sense. Just anecdotally from watching them fly around these things. It's like, aha, that is what's going on. I totally get it. Oh my God. Oh God, I was going to ask you something and now I forgot what. Shit. It was something about the bugs. Oh well.
Yeah.
Huh. How did, where did you read about this, or where did you find out about this?
I don't know, some news article that linked to the research paper. It was an article. Let me see if I can reference it. So, Sam Fabian, an Imperial College London entomologist and co-author of the study, published in the journal Nature Communications. So in Nature Communications, there was an article published on 30th of January, 2024, Why Flying Insects Gather at Artificial Light.
Very cool.
Yep.
Here's a funny thing. When we were on our second of three stops in Texas recently, the person whose house we stayed at has kind of like a long, narrow koi pond in their yard. No koi in it presently, but it's like built into the stone patio. So it's like a stone trough kind of that you could put koi in if you wanted to. Yeah. And they have water in it, but they don't have any living creatures in it. And they had like a trail cam or something set up in the backyard. And this gaggle of raccoons shows up with some regularity. And they take turns jumping in the deep end and then swimming towards the shallow end and like climbing out and then walking around and then jumping in and swimming down it and then climbing out. And they all like line up and take turns like you would like off a diving board.
That's amazing.
Isn't that adorable?
Yes.
They all gang up and hang out together and go to the pool. I love that so much.
That's so good.
And that is not disappointing. That is delightful.
Yeah, that is delightful. That's so great. That's like, there's that, like there's footage of like crows like on a snowed roof somewhere sliding down and then walking back up to the top of the roof and sliding down again. So adorable.
Yes, that's so cute. Yeah. Oh, someone I know got a dog because their relative got the dog, but then the relative couldn't keep the dog, and so that dog got foisted on them.
Yeah.
And I learned that this relative has kids, and one of the kids was so small and so young, 4 years old, that this dog didn't really recognize them as like superior in any way. So the dog would like physically barge in on the kid's space, knock the kid over all the time, took the kid's toys away, took the kid's food away from them, snatched the child's food. And so this child was like, I really hate this dog. Like, I can't wait for this dog to go away.
Right.
And it was like this dog was with them for 8 months before transferring to this other person that I know. And I can just imagine for a 4-year-old, 8 months is like a quarter of your lifetime.
Yeah.
That must have seemed like a living hell. To have an indifferent large animal who stands taller than you eye to eye.
Yeah.
Come in and just like just take dominate. All your shit from you and knock you down.
God.
I know. And I kind of thought like, didn't the person who got this dog like anticipate this? Because they knew what breed they were getting and how big they get.
Right.
It's a big dog. I don't know. I just thought, I found that peculiar. It was so disappointing for that kid.
Yeah.
We come home with this adorable little puppy that grows into a dog that hates you. Or worse than hates you, doesn't even care that you're there.
Right.
Just gonna take your food right out of your plate.
God.
I know. Dogs are disappointing, I think. They're never what I want them to be, which is a cat.
Which is a cat.
I realize that as I'm saying it. What I really want is cat. Oh, no. Oh, no. Disappointment. It just started snowing here. It has not snowed more than 1.8 inches in a single snowfall this entire winter. And I think it's only snowed twice, like the whole time.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Well, it's not going to stick for long. It's kind of coming down half rain, half snow. That is also disappointing. Pick a lane.
Pick a lane indeed.
Oh, here's a disappointment. We discovered this just yesterday morning. So I have a huge pile of really awesome compost between my neighbors and my garage in the back along the alleyway. And I put it there because it's a big open place to dump it. And then if we don't scoop it all up and use it, it's just adding organic matter to that space where we have it sitting right now. And that's good because the people who own the house next to mine a couple of owners ago ran like an illegal auto body fix-it shop out of their garage and like heavily contaminated the ground with hydrocarbons.
Yeah.
And so putting more organic matter into the soil is actually a good thing to help like remediate that. But anyway, it's put there because I also told my neighbors, take as much of this as you want for your garden. Like it's organic and it's compost and it's finished and it came from a place that does this on purpose. Like they have standards and it's an industrial composting facility. So anyway, it's back there. And for the winter, we covered it up with a tarp and we held the tarp down with a bunch of chopped up pieces of wood from our yard. Yeah. And we went out on the, I went to take the trash out the other morning, Tuesday morning, and go to my therapy appointment. And I was like, somebody stole our tarp.
Oh.
It has a hole in it. Like, who steals a holy tarp?
Yeah, what?
Off a dirt pile. So I had to order another tarp. Someone stole our tarp. I mean, who steals a tarp?
Well, I hope they really needed it to survive somehow.
What? Like, what can, you know, I'm thinking that too. I'm like, I hope that, like, well, I was going to say, I hope somebody used this to construct their temporary shelter. And then I realized, I hope nobody has to use a tarp for a temporary shelter ever. But if it got stolen for any reason other than survival, I'd be pretty pissed. Like, it was like a $10 tarp. Just go get a real tarp without a hole in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's annoying and disappointing.
I have this memory of disappointment, which was one time I was camping, or I was driving with a friend of mine in the woods, and we were camping, and we'd gone down into this valley, and there were like a lot of people, and we're like, well, like we hung out for a while, and then we're like, let's go, we're gonna drive up up the ridge, and then like find a camping spot. And we drove up the ridge, and we went up in altitude enough that it was suddenly really, really cold and windy.
Yeah.
And we went, I can't remember. So I used to have two of these tarps, and they're kind of like nicer camping tarps. So they're not like, they're not that plastic, like blue tarp that you get from like Costco or someplace.
Yes.
Like they're more of like a nylon, like material that's waterproof. And they're nicer because they're lighter and they're a little more like they fold down easily and they kind of clean off more. They're better for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I can't remember exactly what happened, but somehow I was outside with the tarp in the wind, and the tarp, like, actually, I think what happened is I don't remember. Anyway, I'm outside. It's fucking freezing. We're like, fuck, we're not doing this. And my friend was in the car, and she was like staying in the car, and I were in the truck. And I was like, I had like gone out because like something had like, I feel like something had broken or something. Anyway, I had like a broken bottle, or there was some reason I had to go outside to like clean shit off. And I was like, and the tarp, this like gust of wind just like whips the tarp out of my hand and up into the sky. And like, we're in this like pretty heavily wooded area. And like, I spent probably an hour and a half trying to find that tarp, and it was just gone.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It was just like whipped up into the sky and never to be seen again.
Holy shit.
And the funny thing, I mean, and this is a place I frequent, like over the years, I've gone back to this place many times, and I'm always just like, I'm like, one of these days I'm going to find that fucking tarp.
That's right.
One of these fucking days. I mean, I think the good thing about it is that, I think that kind of plastic photo degrades. And so like, hopefully it like fell in a tree and photo degraded over a year and like doesn't exist anymore. But
yeah,
I don't know. I feel a little bad, but it is what happens, or it is what happened.
Yeah. It happens. I mean, it's not like you went out with a bunch of balloons and let them go.
Yeah.
Like right. on no, purpose. People do that on purpose.
It's yeah. I mean, it's like, yeah, I don't feel like I feel bad, but like, I'm also not like going to punish myself. Like that's something that we all try right. to avoid. Right. Like, it's yeah. not like I'm intentionally like, I'm going to just go burn some plastic in the woods and see what happens.
Right. I avoided a major disappointment recently because when were driving, when we were driving back from Texas, we made it all the way back into Minnesota, and I was driving because I needed to get back here in time for hang on one sec.
Sure.
The timing was of the essence because I had schoolwork that I had to turn in by deadline that evening.
Yeah.
And it was not finished. I still needed to do a lot of composition and writing before I could turn anything in. So I was like, we have got to get home. Right. And as soon as I was in Minnesota, I was like, it's worth it to speed. Like, I'm going to take my chances. And I totally got caught by a state trooper, which is the first time I've been caught for speeding in like several decades. Like, I think the last time I got caught speeding was when I was a teenager. Again, the sinus infection and the speeding, they like go hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
Long time for both of them. So the last time that either of us got a speeding ticket, me or Damon, it was when we were in California. It was on Damon's birthday. We were coming to sail with you on your boat for the first time. And it was May 10th. And we were driving through El Cajon. And I was like, there's a cop up ahead. And Damon's
yeah,
like,
I remember
what?
This. Yeah.
And then we blew past him at like 80 miles an hour in a 70 zone. And then Damon slammed on the brakes. And then he saw the brakes light up and he totally stopped us. And it was fine.
Like, oh, yeah, I know what like, you're doing. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, oh, somebody knows they're speeding. So he pulled us over and we got a ticket. And I don't remember, and I asked you about this before the podcast, but I don't remember how much that ticket was assessed for, how much the fine that was levied against us was, because I don't remember the actual like digits of the fine. But what I remember is that it was so much that we felt like it was worth driving the 2.5 hours back someday to visit you, and also for Damon to go to court and be like, can I not pay this much for this ticket? And then they were like, no, that doesn't exist here. You must pay the ticket. And then it was like, well, now we just wasted all this time going to court. We should have just paid the ticket. Anyway, it was a bunch of money. And in my mind, I think a bunch of money is around like $300, right? I think that's what it was. $250, $300, something like that. Enough that it's like, fuck. That's like an ounce of weed in California. So anyway, when I got pulled over, I was like, motherfucker, because I was definitely speeding. Like, I knew I was speeding, and I was in the process of trying to pass a semi truck. So I was really speeding. Like, I was it wasn't like I'm going to go 71 and you're going to stay at the speed limit of 70 and eventually I'm going to creep past you in the fast lane. No, I'm going to punch it.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at the dashboard. The miles per gallon is going to go down to 12 like it's some kind of a fucking truck or something. Uh-huh. And then we're going to like zoom past you. And then I'm going to slow down in the lane in front of you because I don't linger in the passing lane. I move back over as soon as it's prudent. And then I like go whatever speed I'm going to go. Right. So anyway, as I was passing this truck, the cop was in the median and I saw him and I was just like, fuck, like I'm fucked. I'm royally fucked because he's had a line of sight on me and the things on their dashboard just automatically let them know if someone's speeding. So I was like, he's got me dead to rights. So eventually I make it in front of the truck, pull over on the shoulder. The cop comes around. He like has a really brief conversation with me because I have like a spotless driving record at this point. And he was like, you're speeding. And I was like, yep, I totally was. I'm sorry about that. I was trying to pass a truck and I totally sped up to do that. And he's like, okay, well, you have to slow down. And I was like, all right. And he's like, I'm gonna write you a ticket. And I'm like, okay. And so he writes me the ticket and he hands it to me and I'm thinking, god, he's like, I'm gonna get so fucked on. This is gonna be such an expensive ticket. So we look at it and what the ticket says is 84 and a 70. And when Damon got pulled over in California, it cost us like $300. It was like 8 or 10 over in a 70. And I was like, oh my god, this is gonna be so fucking expensive. So we got home and I did not want to look at it for like 3 days because I was thinking, I'm gonna have to break this up over over like two paychecks, and it's going to be like really terrible. And as I was walking with the person who has this dog now that was foisted on them from another family member who didn't plan very wisely, I was like, what do you think a ticket is going to, 14 over, what do you think a ticket's going to cost? And he was like, I don't know. Plus, like, everything's so much more expensive now than it used to be. And I was like, right? Like, if they're banking on a ticket, a dollar fine ticket being a deterrent to speeding, and I was already going 85 in a 70 zone, like, I bet they're going to throw the book at me. I bet this is going to be so fucking painful. If Damon's in California was 300 and he was only 8 over, I'll bet mine's going to be like $600. I was just like emotionally prepared to get gouged, right? And Conrad's like, maybe. I was thinking like 300 at least. And I was like, oh my God, then it is going to be like a $300 ticket. I knew it. So I didn't want to look it up because I've been really good about saving money lately and I just didn't want to give any of it up.
Yeah.
And like our whole argument for driving to Texas instead of flying was like, well, it's cheaper to drive because we only have to fill up on gas a couple times and it's a 50-gallon tank, $50 tank of gas, right? Like it's however many gallons, 12 gallons, but 50 bucks to fill up roughly. And so I was like, that's way cheaper than an airline. Also, I'm not going to get sexually assaulted going through a metal detector, so that's cool. And we were like, drive it, right? So then when we got pulled over, I was like, I'm blowing my mile average here. Like, I was trying to get home and save time. And now I got pulled over and it was so stupid. Anyway, so I went online and looked and I read the line item for the like infringement for the law that I broke, the statute. Yeah. And it says this, you know, blah, 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 $125. And I was like, oh, God. And I read down the page and then I kept reading and I kept reading. And then way at the bottom of the page, it says 125. And I was like, wait, what? And I looked at it again, and then I looked at the ticket that I had over the paper ticket that they wrote me in front of me, and I was like, this is, that's right, that's the right number, that's the right statute, that is $125, uh-huh. I only got a ticket for $125, and because I was prepared to pay anywhere between $300 and $600, I don't feel like I spent $125, I feel like I saved $175, like, I feel like I won the lottery.
That's definitely how that works.
So it's like reverse disappointment for getting a speeding ticket. Like, I'm so glad it only cost $125. Personally speaking, I think that's like too low to be a deterrent. I don't know. I think it was worth it.
Yeah.
Because I got home with enough time to turn my paper in. And that's all I really cared about. And it's not like I wasn't going so fast that they're like, you're an endangerment to other people. This is going on your like criminal record. I didn't have to go to court. It was just a plain old like pay it and it's done. It's not even going to go on my insurance. Like, it's not a big deal. And I was just like, wow, I expected that to be so much more painful and it wasn't. So my Valentine's Day present to me is I paid that ticket off and I don't have to worry about it ever again.
That's nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a good story. I like that. I like the outcome of it the most.
Yeah.
It is kind of funny, though, how like the amount of money can really like our sort of subjective perception of value can just be so heavily influenced by all these things. Like when I had to pay $100 to like to get access to the domain name again that I'd already paid for and had receipts to show them, like it was just like infuriating. And yet it's like, you know, I the nacho incident.
Oh my God, tell about the nachos. That's so disappointing.
Was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday.
Yes, it was yesterday.
I'd gone to therapy. And I jokingly said to you, like, as a reward to myself, but mostly it was like, it was lunchtime when I was driving back and I was like, oh, I think, you know, it's a Tuesday. I could just get tacos or something for lunch and call it good. So I went to this taco shop and I bought these nachos and they were actually like $15,
which is a little bit excellent.
They were excellent. Like they had, you know, it was like the carne asada nachos. So they had like, it's like a carne asada burrito, but like on nachos, which was pretty great with like a bunch of cheese. And it was like, it was a huge amount of them, like way more than I would eat in one sitting. It was fairly, this was almost like one of those like serves four kind of situations, right? Like they're not really designed as like an individual meal. And I think I'd eaten at this taco shop one other time. And so I didn't really know. I didn't realize like what I was actually getting, which is fine. I was excited to have them. So I brought them home and in this like just incredibly disappointing series of events. I like came in the front door. I like set some other shit down that I had in my car. I was holding the nachos in my hand, and like one of the corners, like it was one of those plastic clamshell boxes that you get. And one of the corners like popped open or something. And I kind of was like, oh no. And I like tried to like kind of quickly bring up my other hand, and like I overcompensated and like knocked it a little bit loose from my hand. And the next thing I know, I'm now like juggling this box that almost as soon as it took like a 180 flip, it just sprung open, and like the contents just exploded into my room. Like God. It seemed like the level of like distribution of material from the inside of this box seemed to defy the laws of physics. Like it was like someone had like, you know, like remember when people used to do like you spin salad in a dish towel to dry it off? Like it kind of was like you were doing that, and then the towel, like it was a paper towel, and it broke open and just spewed the contents. Like I was just covered in nacho, like in sour cream and melty cheese and bits of chunks of like pico de gallo and little bits of meat and shit and chips.
Oh my God.
And like it was like all over my couch and like all over like all my like my stereo,
like,
and every, like it was just
a landmine in your nachos.
Yes, it just was just a nightmare, and I was so disappointed that I like just like immediately like took off all my clothes, stuffed them in the laundry basket, and like went in and took a shower, and then laid on my bed and like just didn't want to deal with it for like an hour. And I like came out and like cleaned it all up, and it was like, and it was so finely distributed that it wasn't like there was like a bulk of it left that I could just like put back in the box and eat.
Yeah,
right? Like it was just like that meal was done. It was gone.
Move
it
on.
Was yeah.
That's so disappointing. Like, not only did you get nachos and not get to eat them, which was the first tier of disappointment. The compounded tier of disappointment was that you then had to clean your fucking house and you had nothing to eat.
Right, exactly. It wasn't like I did this outside and it's like, oh, fuck it, whatever.
Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah. Oh, our friend is here. Hello.
I was just recording a podcast with Ned.
So there is someone at my house, and also I got the boop 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 boop, boop from the like the the research team who have sent me colors of the day.
Oh shit! Yes, so
two of them.
That is the end of this particular podcast, and now it's time to do the closing segment.
Yes. So I have two colors. I have
fantastic.
Architectural indigo, which is a blue color, fitting.
Yes.
And the RGB values are 53, 125, and 182. And then the hexadecimal code for this color, which you can type into Google, is hashtag 357 delta beta 6. 357 DB6.
If you type that into Google, it'll pull up the color for you right away.
And the second one, which the name I find very appealing, is osmotic gaslight.
Yes.
I think the concept of gaslighting by osmosis is actually really humorous.
It's very funny.
You sort of like, you know, suffuse with gaslighting. RGB value 202. 130 73. So it's like a reddy brown, and the top one, like I mentioned, is a blue, mostly blue. It's like a kind of like I would expect it to be like if somebody was wearing a used car dealership blue suit.
Yeah.
And then osmotic gaslight. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I want to say this is like a sienna color almost.
Yes. It's kind of like a peachy brown.
Yeah. Yeah. It's or maybe
like a bruised,
raw sienna
bruised
is lighter.
Peach.
I think this is pretty close to raw sienna when I
Google. Yes.
It's a and yellow brown or a peachy brown, yeah.
Yeah, kind of orangey brown. The the hexadecimal code for this one is hashtag cat alpha 82 8249 or Charlie Alpha 8249 CA 8249. So you can punch the hexadecimal codes into the Google search bar and it will come up with the color on your monitor that we're looking at right now. And we do this because we're smart and we can outdo Pantone many times over because Pantone sets a bar so low that they frequently go under their own bar. Yep. You know. Let that be a warning. Limbo. People who
I'd
only
say they
do
frequently fly in under their own bar.
Yes, cruise right under it. So yeah, that's our podcast for the day. I hope it was disappointing.
Yes, indeed. I found it very disappointing, I can't wait to be more disappointment. It disappointed.
Well, now I'm disappointed in you for saying that.
Thank you.
My expectations were not met.
Indeed.
Yes. Well, okay, everybody. Thanks for listening to our podcast.
Yeah, thanks for listening. And okay, don't forget, the best way to experience disappointment is to just jack your expectations into the stratosphere.
Stratospheric expectations. Build an expectation space elevator and then ride it all the way to disappointment.
Exactly. Yes. What could go wrong?
Nothing. Everything.
Maybe that'll be our next podcast, is the expectation elevator.
Expectation elevator. Ooh, I'm writing that down. That's so good.
Yeah.
Expectation elevator, like Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator, except way more disappointing.
Except way more disappointing. love that so much. Okay.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Okay.
Okay, bye.